Gaelic games. And as Cork mentioned, Cork will play Galway in the All-Ireland Under-21 football final following today's semi-finals in Tullamore. Dan McOwen winning it for the Munster champions with an injury time free for Cork. Galway beating Kildare 2-10 to 2-5 in the other game today. Brendan O'Brien of the Irish Examiner was at the game and he gave us his take.
Oh, without a doubt. I think very few people would dispute that, even the amount of cabin people coming out with tears streaming down their faces. You had to feel sorry for them, but I mean, apart from the last, say, 15 minutes, Cork were very much in control. Did very well against the wind, played very controlled. I mean, it was nearly like an away match in Europe in soccer. I mean, you know, vastly outnumbered in the crowd, but they played a very controlled game of football, played against the wind, went in with a lead, a short lead at half time. Came out in the third quarter and kind of blew Cavan away, started tipping over a lot of easy scores. Kind of like from what I hear about the Munster final against Tip, kind of similar. They kind of put their foot on the pedal. And then Cavan kind of got a little bit of momentum and they stuck one goal chance in. And the next thing, it was held for leather until the end. And one of the most dramatic finishes to a game I've ever seen.
Yeah, like, was it the kind of contrasting styles that people were expecting, the maybe more defensive Cavan against maybe a more expansive Cork side? Did it play out like that?
Yeah, it didn't. I mean, Cork, you know, Cavan had a lot of the ball, a lot of possession, and Cork, whether they sat back or were forced back, well, that's debatable, but a lot of possession for Cavan. Even though, Cork, you know, reading the previews before the game, they're expected to struggle in midfield. They thought the midfielders did okay. But Cavan brought the ball forward through the hand quite a lot. But you would say that Cork probably had the better footballers, you know, the better forwards as well. They were getting their scores that bit easier as well. So, you know, I think, yeah, they definitely deserved it. And there was a little bit of contrast in styles. It was kind of like the first game with Kildare having a lot of the ball as well, but Galway maybe soaking it up and doing their bit on the break as well.
Yeah, like you mentioned, the third quarter, just the opening few minutes in the second half, and Hurley kicked 2 points for Cork Sugru, and Dan McOwen as well got a free. It was 4 unanswered points. And was that down to Cork, or did Cavan seem just a little bit slow out of the traps, or what was it?
Probably a bit of both. It's kind of hard to say. Like I said, it just seemed that Cork were, you know, maybe Cavan were a little bit slow out of blocks. I mean, Cork were scoring points very easily in that period. And, you know, maybe with the wind, I don't know, but it definitely was the winning of the game. And it did take Cavan quite a while to address that. And it was only really when they got the goal, their second goal, that they really kind of started to click. But one of the interesting aspects of the game is that the Cavan management took off. They scored, what was it, 111,
yeah.
And they took off 3 of their players who between them scored 1-5, including Enda Riley, who had just scored his third point and was immediately taken off. And we found out afterwards there was no question of injuries. It was just a, you know, pre-planned tactics or whatever, but it just seemed quite bizarre. And then to bring on Riley 5 minutes into injury time, last kick of the game, to try and salvage it with a free from an angle into the teeth of a kind of a diagonal wind, it just seemed a little bit bizarre. So Cork will have a little bit to be thankful for.
Yeah, because just on the finish, it was incredible to watch it on TV. Dan McOwen got the free for Cork to put them a point up, and then Cavan got a free from, like you said, a very tight angle on the right hand side of the pitch. It would suit a left footer. They brought Riley on. He looked quite confident, and then he kind of pulled it. It was such a strange finish to the game. It was like bringing on a specialist free taker or something like that, wasn't it?
It was, and talking to John Cleary, the Cork manager, afterwards, he had a perfect, he was right in line with it, he was right behind free taker, and he was in line with the goals as well. And the wind was kind of deceptive, and it was only when I went down after the first game to get quotes from the Kildare and Galway dressing rooms that I realised how strong the wind was. And John actually said that as soon as Enda Riley threw the ball in the air, it literally moved a little bit. So, I mean, that will tell you how unfortunate it was on the guy. But I mean, looking at it now, you'd have to say it was a very strange call. He'd been off the pitch for 15 minutes.
Yeah.
Must have been cold. You're brought on, here you are, son, get us into extra time and into an All-Ireland final. I mean, just very, very tough on him, and in the end it was too big an ask.
Who impressed you for Cork today?
Well, Mark Sugru got the official man of the match, and very hard to disagree with that. I thought he was very good, very dynamic, and he kicked those 3 points throughout the throughout the third quarter. Brian O'Driscoll at wing back, I thought, was very good. And the forward line in general, I thought they all did very well. And like I say, it's hard to know where Cavan's standing off them in that third quarter, but the ease with which they scored the points and the link play with the lads up front, I thought was very impressive, and something that Galway will obviously pick up on.
Yeah, they'll play Galway in the final. They beat Kildare by 5 points in the first game. A lot of people unsure maybe were Kildare as good as people thought they were at Galway. Well-deserving winners there for you.
Very strange one, Joe. I think it was 19 wides Kildare kicked, and just writing them down, you know, it was just like a plethora, a litany of wide after wide after wide. I think I worked it out. The longest Kildare went without kicking a wide was 7 minutes. And in total, I think the kick between shots wide, short, back off the post, I think was 23, 24. So, I mean, if you're looking at it, you'd have to say that they really did leave it behind them. I mean, Galway, you know, they came into this after squeaking through against Roscommon in extra time in Connacht, and weren't fancied by many people. There's some lovely footballers, Galway, like, as they always do. But you'd have to say they got out of jail today, and if you were a betting man, you'd be putting your money on Cork for that final.
Yeah, I was going to say, how strongly would you back Cork after seeing the two games today and the two teams?
Yeah, I think Cork, I'd be very surprised if Cork don't do it. Again, talking to John Cleary, he was talking about this team having a tendency not to be able to stem a flow against them, that when a team gets a couple of points, they seem unable to just step up and stop that. And that would be a little bit of a worry, because Galway showed that they could get a little bit of momentum behind them. But I just think, looking at Cork forwards especially, I think, you know, there's no way they're going to do a Kildare on it. I think if they get the chances in Galway, look, you can say Galway's defenders were part of the problem for Kildare today, but I mean they coughed up an awful lot of chances, and with that forward line the Cork have, I don't think they'll be making the mistakes that the Kildare did today.
Games on May 4th, is there a venue confirmed for that yet, or what?
No,
what's
I haven't heard that. I was asking a couple of the officials afterwards. There's not 100% confirmed that I know of at the moment, but 2 weekends time.
That's Brendan O'Brien there of the Irish Examiner speaking to us after Cork's win today over Cavan, 15 points to 111. This is Cork boss John Cleary on the threat that Galway pose. He's speaking to TG Carr after the game.
Well, I don't know what about revenge. The big thing is we're in a final now, and hopefully it'll start a 50-50 game. We know we've an awful lot to work on for the next 2 weeks. It doesn't matter who we're playing, there's an All-Ireland at stake. And, you know, a lot of our guys weren't there 2 years ago. Some of them were. And they won't remember that, or you know what I mean. So we're just facing this as another game. We'll hopefully improve for the Galway game. If we don't, we might as well not turn up. But you know, we're there, and by God, we'll give it one good go in 2 weeks' time.
That's Cork boss John Cleary there on the threat that Galway pose, and they'll face each other in a fortnight's time. Joe, a nervy finish to that game, as you discussed there with Brendan. Yeah. Probably unfortunate, because Cork, better side in that game for you?
Yeah, definitely. The key score for me came on 58 minutes with 2 minutes to go, was Mark Sugru's point. It pushed Cork 2 points ahead of Cavan, and then after that they did fight back to within a point again, and then Dan McEwen got the point to put them one up. And then it was such an interesting scenario at the very end there, when they brought the key guy, the key scorer all year, who had been subbed off, back on to take a free from a tight angle. I thought they put that young guy in a really difficult situation.
But it wasn't that tough a kick, to be perfectly honest, was it?
I don't know.
Perfect for the left footer. He's a left footer. He came on and he had enough time to size up the shot. He was looking at it, and he just skewed it horribly wide.
He pulled a little bit. I just think, you know, like, he was sitting in the stands. He probably was gone a little bit cold after coming off, and then to go on. And it was a high-pressure kick. I mean, it's a kick to take you into extra time or a replay to possibly go on and get into an All-Ireland final. I thought it was the wrong move. Especially, like, the guy is a great footballer and all that kind of stuff, but I just think putting him in that position was... I didn't think it was fair. But I think over the game, over the 60 minutes, Cork were by far the better team. Very impressed with Luke Connolly in a corner forward. And I thought, especially in the second half, as Brendan said there, Mark Sugru, who got man the match, was outstanding. So Cork into the All-Ireland final. And it's they've won three monsters in a row. I think they should be... They should be going on and winning it, and hopefully they do.
Yeah, certainly overdue, as we heard from Brendan there. He fancies them to beat Galway, and you watched a bit of that game today as well.
Yeah, it's kind of a strange game. Like you said, Kildare were so wasteful, and Galway got the goals at the right times. But from what I saw from Galway today, I don't think Cork should be afraid of them at all. Bit of history between the two sides, as was mentioned by John Cleary there. But Cork will go into the game as favourites, and hopefully they win it.
Now, a dramatic night in Cork. You were in last night as the Cork Miners drew with Kerry in the Munster Football Championship quarter final. Final score there after extra time, Cork 2-13, Kerry 2-13. A last gasp Aidan Moynihan penalty for the Rebels, taking the game to a replay. Joe was down at the game last night, and he got the views of Cork boss Aoife Fitzgerald.
Well, I suppose, looking, we were 5 points down there at the start of the second half, so we were looking down the barrel a bit, but I thought all night the lads were showing great heart and great determination. I mean, we were very, very unlucky. We created so many goal chances and didn't take them. And I thought, I genuinely thought next time that they, obviously their preparation would have been much better than ours, in the sense that we, you know, we had a hurling for a couple of weeks and we see the lads were cramping, but they gave it their all, their absolute all. I thought we were unlucky not to win it in normal time. You know, we gave away a few silly scores maybe towards the end, but I thought our general attitude and our general play was very good. But I think in terms of football, it was a great advertisement for football. Yeah. It was a very open, attractive game, and I think, you know, played in the right spirit, and, you know, I suppose we're delighted in a way to have another crack, but it'll be another match for us anyway, you know, in terms of preparation for the next round. But but all it is really, I suppose, at this stage is a sparring match.
Yeah, so it's just in the opening 60 there, like, I think I got maybe four good goal chances and dropped a few into the keeper's hands as well. Did you feel you were the better side over the opening 60 and should have won it?
Well, obviously you have to take your chances, but I'm lucky. I mean, if we weren't creating the chances, you'd be more worried. Yeah, you know, I mean, some days they go in, and to be fair, their goalkeeper made a few very good saves, and balls blocked off the line and whatnot, and missing the penalty, obviously. You know, fellas can put their heads down, but I don't think they did it awful, is there? I mean, we, this year we kind of focus on getting in guys with real character, and I think they showed that out there tonight. You know, they never said die spirit. I mean, that game was for all intents and purposes gone with five minutes to go. We were 5 points down or whatever. And the amount of heart, I mean, they've had a hard championship match. Like five or six of those fellas last week played in the hurling championship. It's not easy to come back. You know, we did very, very little training during the week, and we just got guys together and I suppose focused on trying to put our game plan into operation. And as I say, I'm thrilled, not so much with the result, it's fair enough, but the performance and the character and commitment of the lads was top class.
What's making the penalty at the end? Did you get a good look at it, or
not
was it a
clue? I don't know what it was for. I've not come to make an error, but I just felt that a draw was probably the least we deserved on the night, so we're happy to take it.
Was it
No, it was over the line. It was over the line initially, yeah. He just went in and made sure. Yeah.
But overall, you're happy enough with the nice walk.
Well, I mean, we haven't seen those hurlers for 2 weeks, you know. And you can see, I mean, Killian O'Connor, I thought, was immense tonight there. Absolutely immense. Michael Cahillane, you know, for a guy who has played very little football. Mm. Top men. I mean, they really stood up and were counted, you know. And it's not easy to come into championship matches. I suppose the advantage Kerry will have over us is the fact that they don't have, you know, there's no hurling, and they're able to get a clear run at it. But I just thought that our fellas showed immense character, as I say, and I'm absolutely very, very pleased with them.
The next match will be very good for the season.
It will, for the season ahead, obviously. We don't know, as I said, I keep harping on about the bias of the championship draw. You know, the winners tonight will probably be going to play Tipperary up there. You know, the losers will be going in the back door route, and, you know, looking at the two teams there, you'd wonder. I just thought it was a magnificent advert for football. I don't know what the final score was. It was fair scores, you know. There wasn't a dirty blow in the game. You know, everybody went for it, and it was good hard championship football. And I know I keep repeating myself, but I'm absolutely delighted with the character shown by our guys.
Are you kind of in a difficult situation, the way you said? Like, I mean, the winners probably go the tough route and could get knocked out, and the losers and maybe go on. Yeah. Like, it's supposed to be tough, like, for yourself and all the players.
You can be knocked out, but I mean, we go into the I'm from Nemo, so we go into every match thinking we can win, and putting every effort into making sure that we do our utmost to win. So there's no, like, we won't take a step back anywhere, you know, if we have to play. I mean, you could possibly see a situation where you could be playing Kerry two or three times in the championship, you know, or vice versa, same for them, depending on how it goes and how the draw goes. But, you know, it's very, I suppose, playing championship matches, priceless to get a game under your belt. And you know, for our guys, they, as I said, some of them we hadn't seen for quite a bit. So to turn up there and get that kind of a performance tonight was absolutely magnificent, I felt.
Just to kind of expand on Killian O'Connor's performance, he was immense. Caught ball, kick points, scored goals. That's the potential the guy has. You've seen that for a long time.
Well, Killian, he's like, I always class him as a bit of a gentle giant, you know, but when he gets that bit of aggression into his game, he's a powerful man. He has a bit of everything. He can shoot, he can field, he can tackle, he can run all day. I mean, he has to marry playing hurling football and his leaving cert as well, you know. Yeah. And I know he gets great support from his parents and that, you know, they're very good people. And we try and, in as much as we can, marry the three, you know, because their exams at the end of the day, their exams for me is the most important thing. But I think if you're organised, and I mean, Killian has organised himself, the same as Michael Cahillane and not a few of them there, they've organised themselves very, very well. And they're... I suppose compartmentalising what they need to do, and Killian has been exemplary. So hopefully now we can take a few days off now. We'll go, we'll reassess, we'll have a look at this, and we'll see where we go. We had a number of injuries tonight as well. I mean, Peter Keller wasn't available and Michael Cahillane wasn't available, but I thought the fellas that came in and did a job. I mean, I was never involved in a match, I say, where we had to make so many changes.
Yeah,
you know, it was amazing. At times we didn't know how many we had brought on. Or whatnot, but I just, as a spectacle, I mean, I know I'd be more involved in what's going on in the pitch, but I thought as a spectacle, it was a great advert for football.
Yeah, it was a great watch, right? What's your gut feeling now about the replay? Do you think anybody has an edge or an advantage?
Well, I suppose we have to go to Killarney now for the replay, but we look forward to that. And I would hope and I would think that this game will bring us on a bit, you know? Like, we haven't had a lot of inter-county practice matches and that. Like, we there was a lot of club matches on our own, 21s and minors and school matches and that. So, you know, the last thing we wanted was for guys to be tired. So we've watched that. But I think that match will hopefully bring us on a ton. And we'll... I don't think anybody's in age, really. Kerry don't mind coming to Cork, and we don't mind going to Kerry, so...
That's Cork minor boss Hugh Fitzgerald there speaking to Joe after their draw with Kerry last night. When I spoke to Murray in the week, Joe, he was not too happy with the lack of game time his side faced. He knows an extra game, which will surely stand to them, I suppose, will it?
Yeah, absolutely. Especially at minor level, you want these guys to be playing together as much as possible. And last night's game, very entertaining in fairness. So went all the way to extra time and went all the way to the last minute of extra time. And that Aidan Moynihan penalty and... the Kerry keeper, in fairness, he made a great effort to keep it out. He got a hand in it and kind of squirmed under him and just crossed the line, and Aidan ran in then after and just booted it to the net. There's actually a video of it. We have a video of that penalty and the drama of all that on our redfm.ie/bigredbench at the moment, if you want to have a look at that. The game in general, though, I felt, like I said to Efi there in the interview, I feel they might have left behind them a small, but I think I counted they had four decent goal chances that they didn't take, and they dropped a lot of ball into the goalkeeper's hands in the second half, and that did cost them in the end. And Kerry showed good battling qualities at the end of the 60 minutes. They were 2 points down going into added time, and they managed to scrape it back and take it to extra time. I think over the course of the whole thing, Cork probably should have won it, but I don't think a result was a very unfair, or a draw was a very unfair result.
Right, that video is available on redfm.ie/sport, as Joe mentioned, and all tonight's interviews will be up there as well a little bit later on. Now we're going to talk rugby, and a fantastic day for the Bandon under 19 rugby side, defeating Navan in the All-Ireland final in Naas, 15-3 in favour of the Cork side. Joe spoke to Bandon coach Dan Murphy a short time after the final whistle.
I suppose, Joe, there were tears at the end of it. That's how proud you'd be of them, you know. All the five coaches were kind of, I suppose, overwhelmed as well, by the victory and the world goal. They set about their task. Whatever we asked them to do, they did. They got a great start. Two tries, went up two tries and defended for their lives for the rest of the game and attacked as well, you know.
Yeah, I suppose you couldn't have dreamed of a better start, in fairness, to try inside 5 minutes.
No. And yeah, it was the same as, I suppose, the Munster final. We scored early against Highfield that day, and to be fair to Highfield, they came back at us, whereas I suppose we were far more solid today off the drop off. We recovered well from the kick off and went back at them again, you know.
Yeah, can you talk us through the tries, the first one, I suppose, first?
I nearly needed TMO for that. It's a bit of a blur.
Okay, right.
The first try, Mikey got a great try up the left wing. A great ball, and there's a couple of saves involved, and he went through and scored very well.
Yeah, and I suppose the second try then, can you talk us through that as well, I guess?
The second try was after, which was over in the right hand corner, as opposed to the left hand corner for the first try, and I suppose there was maybe six or seven phases. We kept maybe going outside the 13 channel, maybe,
yeah,
small bit, we're getting good purchase out there. And Chris McKay got over for the try there, so it's great.
Yeah,
Welsh had a great conversion from that try then as well.
Yeah, it was 12-0 at half time. What was the message in the dressing room then at that point?
we just said, lads, look, you're doing everything. We played up the hill and with the wind, against the wind. So we said, lads, you're doing everything we asked you to do. Just keep doing more of the same. Mm. And that's what they did. No, to be fair, they came back at us. They went down our right wing in the second half. They probably got in behind us. Maybe it was about the only time they got in behind us. And we were camping the line for maybe over 5 minutes. But we defended very, very, very well. We turned the ball over. Then she got a penalty and cleared the line. I think Walshy got a great kick to clear the line up to the 22. So
was that
10 minutes of defence there. And I suppose, to be fair to Navin, they went about themselves very well. But, you know, when they couldn't score there, maybe their heads went down small, but you know.
Was that the big moment in the match for you? Like you said, that spell there where you were on your own line and eventually...
I think so. When we came out of there and they didn't score, I think they might have got a penalty maybe out of it, whatever, you know, but we were very happy we kept the line secure, you know.
Yeah. What about when that final whistle went? Like you said, there were tears, were they?
Oh, just unbelievable. There was an unbelievable crowd from Bandon came up here. There must have been maybe 300-400 people at the match from Bandon. And you know, parents, friends, everything, people you met, old club members that you hadn't seen in a couple of years, everybody was out today. And it's a great day for the club, great day for the town, you know. Great day to be a Bandonian, you know. Very proud of us.
Yeah, and talk to me about the lads' mood at the moment, I suppose. Just ecstatic, really, I guess.
They're thrilled. A bit sore, but they're thrilled. They're delighted with themselves. They're a bit of banter. There's a bit of banter going on inside the dressing room afterwards around the place. A lot of hugging, kissing with their mums and dads. And, you know, they'll enjoy it and they'll celebrate tonight.
You must be massively pleased with the performance, though, Dan. I suppose an All-Ireland final, a lot of players might go into their shell because it's such a big occasion, but the lads performed on the biggest stage today.
They did, yeah. And they actually said that during the week. We've been to a couple of cup finals and we've lost them the first time and maybe come back the following year and won it, a bit like the Munster thing. And I think just one of the players said last night at training, he said, lads, we get one shy bite of this cherry, let's take it. And to be fair, they grabbed it and they went at it and they got the results today. And to be fair, to all the coaches, to Conor Slavery, Keith Butter, Brian McLaughlin, me, Kenneth, myself, we couldn't be proud of them.
Big party planned in Bandon tonight?
Yes. Looking forward to getting home soon.
Great stuff. And is there any plans for the homecoming? What time will you be down and all that so people know?
We'll stop maybe for a bite of grub, maybe half it on, and hope to get back in home maybe about 9:30 or something like that.
Excellent stuff. Listen, Dan, we're absolutely delighted for you, All-Ireland champions. Congratulations.
Thank you, Joe.
That's Bandon coach Dan Murphy there speaking after the final whistle there. 15 points to 3 win over Navin today. Mighty Okafor and Christian Mulcahy with the tries and a penalty and a conversion from Richard Walsh. And Joe, congratulations to them. A fantastic achievement today.
Yeah,
all delighted.
Yeah, it was brilliant. I spoke to Dan as well yesterday and he said that even if the lads had lost, they still would have been immensely proud of them and the effort they put in this year. And to go up there today to Naas and to beat a Navin side who've been very good underage over the last few years and been pretty dominant in Leinster, to go up there and beat them 15 points to 3, a fantastic performance, fantastic achievement. And like I said, a massive congratulations to everyone in Bandon.
Right, still to come on the show, we're going to look back on Cork City's draw with Shelburne as the Rebel Army drop yet more points. Cove Ramblers, boss Dave Hill will also be on the show. And we'll hear from Irish boxing coach Billy Walsh. He'll come between now and 7 on the bench.
Washington Street, your home for the perfect match.
You're listening to the Big Red Bench this Saturday evening. Rory and Joe here with you until 7 p.m. Stevie G follows us with Black and Red from 7 until 10 with his Tribe Called Quest documentary. Do not want to miss this. It's going to be absolutely epic. And then Greg and Shane will go deep from 10 o'clock tonight. Details on our competition shortly, and we're going to check in on Cork's Electricity League sides. First, though, Joe's going to run this up.
Yeah, starting with Gaelic Games, Cork are into the All-Ireland Under-21 football final after beating Cavan by 15 points to 111. Today in the other semi-final, Galway beat Kildare 2-10 to 2-5. So Cork and Galway will go head to head on May 4th. The venue hasn't been confirmed for that just yet. Locally today, Nemo Rangers and O'Donovan Rosser drew 9 points apiece in the Division 1 Football League, and there were two games in the Red FM Senior Hurling League. Stars have just beaten Newtown Shandrum by 122 to 15 points, and earlier today Douglas beat Blackrock, that finished 16 points to 1-9. In cross-channel football, busy day in the Premier League. The results are Fulham 0, Arsenal 1 at Craven Cottage, Norwich beat Reading 2-1, QPR lost at home to Stoke by 2-0, Sunderland had a big win at home to Everton, that finished 1-0, so that's vital in terms of their relegation hopes. Swansea and Southampton drew 0-0, West Brom 1, Newcastle 1 is how it finished at the Hawthorns, and West Ham beat Wigan 2-0. In rugby, a huge congratulations to the Bandon under-19s. We just heard from Dan Murphy, their coach. They're All-Ireland under-19 champions. They beat Navan today by 15-3. In the AIL Ulster Bank League in Division 1A, a disappointing end to the year for the Cork sides. Conn lost to UL Bowes by 35-7, and Dolphin lost to Old Belvedere. That finished 40-26. In Division 2B, not much better for Clonakilty. They've been relegated. They were beaten by Richmond today in the Division 2B relegation playoff. In snooker, defending champion Ronnie O'Sullivan is on course to book his place in the second round of the World Championship in Sheffield. The Rocket will resume at 7 this evening with a 7-2 lead over Marcus Campbell. He only needs 3 more frames to advance there. In golf, Mark Warren has a 2-shot lead after day 3 of the Spanish Open. The Scot finished up on 8 under par. David Higgins is best of the Irish on level par, which is one ahead of Peter Lawrie. In Formula 1, Nico Rosberg will start on pole for tomorrow's Bahrain Grand Prix. He'll be joined on the front row of the grid by reigning world champion Sebastian Vettel. And finally, to racing, 12-1 shot, Godsmeet Judge won the Scottish Grand National at Ayr. That's difficult to pronounce.
It's a tough one, right?
It's a tough one to read. On paper, it mightn't sound that bad when we read.
It's because it's all one word, you see, if you separated them.
Godsmeet Judge. Congrats to Godsmeet Judge.
All right, we have a cracking competition on the show tonight in association with the World Mini Games, which takes place in August here in Cork. We're giving away either a Munster, Cork City, or Cork GAA jersey. It's your choice. To win with a chance of winning, all you have to do is text World Mini Games, your choice of jersey, your name, and full address to 083 317 3336. I'll say that again. Just simply text World Mini Games, your choice of jersey, your name, and your full address to 083 317 3336. Cork's FM and the organisers also want you to help design an official mascot for the games. It can be anything. To use your imagination, the winning club, school or college will receive €1,000 worth of sports equipment, and the winning person will receive an iPad. Go to redfm.ie/win on how to get your entries into us, and tune into the Red Rooster on Monday morning for more updates. Now, it was a familiar story for Cork City last night. Another game, another late goal costing them points. This time against Shelburne at Turner's Cross, the Rebel Army looked well on their way to all 3 points thanks to Danny Murphy's second half goal. However, a late deflected strike for Alan Matthews' side with virtually the last kick of the game secured Shelburne a point. Afterwards, I spoke to an incredibly annoyed City manager, Tommy Dunn.
Tommy, absolute heartbreak there. Can you put into words how you're feeling at the moment?
We're all sick and devastated inside, of course. We thought, to be truthful, again, we'd seen out a game that we created the most chances. I thought we were by far the better team on the night. But when you don't take your chances that come your way, then, you know, you rue those misses at some stage. Any team is going to get an opportunity at some stage in a game. But for me, it's the decisions that I made at certain times is what's costing us. Mm-hmm. 30 seconds prior to it, the ball rolled into a corner and the game is over. Simple as that. But we can't make that decision because we want to have a little cameo and throw a little leg over things. Like tonight, so many times, the simple option, if it had been taken, the game would have been completely out of sight. But it wasn't. Mm-hmm. And to be honest with you, it's just, we're sick of it now. And if we don't eradicate these things, well then you're just going to be conceding games, conceding chances, conceding points as we're doing all the time. And you know, it's talk about frustrating. I don't think frustrating actually explains it, because for me I would say what we're doing is bordering on stupidity. It's not concentration. It's just the wrong decisions at the wrong times are absolutely killing us.
And not on the best surface in the country, are you, Tommy? I know you're low to criticise, but it was poor tonight.
I, to be honest with you, Bill, you start going down the road of criticising the pitch. It's the same for them as it is for us. Now, we try to play when we get a chance to play, and it caused problems. But we don't want to make excuses. That's not the reason why we didn't pick up 3 points tonight. The reason was we made the wrong decision. I made too many wrong decisions tonight as a group. And, you know, when you do that, then I think you're going to struggle. But in saying that, like, if we are talking about the pitch, Billy, well, then something needs to be done, because it's the worst Tornos Cross has ever been.
How do you go about picking the players up
now
ahead of Monday?
I'd like somebody to pick me up, to mind the players. To be honest, because it's, for me, looking at it, like, it should be 3 points. Like, we've lost 12 points in, I'd say, 5 minutes over the course of the season already. And it's ridiculous. It's costing us as a club to be in a position where we can go and challenge and get after teams. But now we're putting ourselves under pressure, because now we have to win matches. When you go to places where you'd say, well, if we pick up a draw, be a good result, now you've got to win. And when you start doing things like that, what happens is then you end up conceding and losing games.
How is it possible to explain why the players have this kind of tendency to drop back?
Well, to be honest with you, I don't think it's even a case of dropping back. Yeah. You know,
maybe not tonight, but
not tonight. Yeah, in previous games, like, you play against teams. What happens is, and generally what happens, and it's happened against Shamrock Rovers twice, it's happened here, happened in Drogheda, what they do is they get the ball and it goes whack up to the pitch. Now, we've two choices. Either we say close the ball down at that end, but it's going to be kicked up the pitch anyway. So my idea, and I would imagine, you see it the world over. You see it in big teams like Barcelona, even the other, in getting through the Champions League. You end up, but it's about being able to defend it. When the ball comes into your box, you head it straight back out, because they're going to kick it long. And if you can't defend it properly, well, then they're going to concede. Simple.
Does it become a mental thing then, the longer it's concede?
Well, it can't. Well, I tell you, whether it's for us, but it's for other teams. Yeah. You can have any team will come to us and say, whatever level they're at, they'll say, actually, you'll get a chance at the death. Unless we decide to eradicate it. But two things tonight, don't take your chances, and wrong decisions have cost us 3 points.
That's Cork City manager Tommy Dunn speaking after last night's draw with Shelburne. Like you said in your intro script, Rory, same old story, and it's been happening too much this season.
Yeah, I don't think I've ever seen Tommy as annoyed after a match either, as well, and with very good reason. I mean, City had those 3 points in the bag, and just the concentration levels just completely dropped, and they sat back and they sat back. You've watched Cork City enough at this point to know that when they score, they sit back.
Yeah.
It's been happening far too long. They don't go and look for that second goal. And after Cork City scored last night, I turned around to the lads and I said, look, I think we've scored 22 minutes too early here, because it's going to be a case of Cork City sitting back and inviting Shelburne onto them. I mean, like, the game should have been out of sight at that point. I mean, like, City were the better team. They were creating the better chances. They're still lacking a number 9 to get on the end of all their good play.
Yeah.
They have Daryl Kavanagh, but he likes to drop deep and he likes to have the play in front of him when he's on the ball. Dennis Behan, somewhat similar as well. He's not a classic number 9. They need someone, just
a poacher.
They need a John O'Flynn in there, to be perfectly honest, and okay, just have someone on the edge of the 6-yard box looking for those little crosses in, because I mean, like, they're getting the ball into the box, they're getting into good positions with the wingers Daryl Horgan and Ian Turner, and they're not doing anything with it.
Yeah, and like last night, like the games I've seen this year, I was actually not at Turner's Cross last night, but the games I've seen this year, they have created pretty decent clear cut chances and just haven't taken them, and then they've been punished. Was it the same last night? Did they create clear cut chances, or was there a bit of a lack of creativity?
They created a couple of chances. Alright, Turner had a couple of chances, he put them narrowly past the post. I mean, like, the Shelburne keeper wasn't overly tested, he was injured as well, couldn't take the goal kicks. Danny Murphy getting the goal then as well, near the back post, that was a collector's item for him, his first goal this decade, to go with his one goal from the last decade as well. It's getting a bit disheartening, because you can play as well as you want, you can have all the possession that you want, if you're not scoring the goals, you're going to get punished. And if you switch off like Cork City did last night, It's no good.
And talk to me about the Shells goal. Was it just a long ball into the box? Was it a scrappy goal? What was it like?
Yeah, I think at that stage, I think Cork City had 11 men in the box at that point. The ball just pumped in, wasn't clear. It fell to the substitute, Darren Tinnelly. He just takes a crack of it with his left leg. I'm not even sure if it's a pass across or a shot. It hits one of the Cork City players and flies past Mark McNulty, who couldn't do anything about it. It was just one of those horrible, horrible moments that you could just see coming as well. It was going on and on. Cork City had the ball up the other end of the pitch. They should have kept it there. They didn't, and they were punished for it. And you wonder how long it's going to go on, these mental blocks whereby Cork City just seem to concede late goals, and now teams are going to get into the mindset of, oh well, Cork City, they concede late, so we'll start pushing on now and put them under pressure and they'll concede again. It's starting to get like that, and maybe Cork City themselves are starting to believe that they do concede late goals. They're the late goal conceding team, and if they don't get that right, then it's going to be a long season.
Yeah, we got some fans' reaction on Twitter last night after the game, and Dermot says, how many points have City dropped in the last couple of minutes of recent league games, and it doesn't look like changing. That's a fair enough point. PJ says, not good enough conceding late again, trying to hang on. Mediocrity shouldn't be acceptable for a club like us. So I mean, obviously the fans are frustrated, and you can hear Tommy, he's frustrated as well. What has to change, you think, for City to get out of this?
Yeah, they need to find a killer instinct. They need to know that when they score one, it's not enough. They have to go on and score two and three and four goals, because they're well capable of it. If they find that number nine, I should say. A massive game now coming up for them on Monday night against Shamrock Rovers, Setanta Sports Cup semi-final, one apiece. This is a chance again to an Ashland Cup final. It's a chance for silverware. It's an absolutely massive game for Cork City, and hopefully they take it. But you'd wonder kind of what atmosphere is in the team now at the moment, and whether or not Tommy can pick him up in 2 days.
Yeah, he's got a massive job over these 2 days, today and tomorrow, to pick him up for Monday's game. I just wonder, is the players' confidence hit a little bit now? Because I mean, we've spoken to a lot of players over the last few weeks. We've had Darrell Horgan and Mark McNulty and all these guys in, and they say that they still believe in the system and all this kind of stuff. They just can't really pinpoint why they can't seem to put teams away and why they keep conceding late. It's kind of one of those untangible things. Yeah. That it's just maybe you need a break or something to go your way, but at the moment City fans very frustrated.
Big time, yeah. And I think it's just a matter of time before this City team put four or five past the team, and it'll solve all of their ills. But very frustrating at the moment to be a Cork City fan. In the First Division, meanwhile, Cove Ramblers picked up a point away to Waterford United after their clash in the RSC finished scoreless. Ramblers had to play the bulk of the game with 10 men after centre-half Brian Fitzgerald was shown red after 20 minutes. I got the reaction of Ramblers boss Dave Hill earlier on today.
Yeah, very happy after getting a man sent off after 20 minutes. It's, you know, we're delighted for the result. The lads did very well in the second half and held out for a good draw.
You've been scoring for fun recently last night, but I suppose being down to 10 men didn't help in that regard last night.
Well, it didn't help, but we kind of frustrated Waterford after a good hour, and they sort of ran out of ideas, and we sort of got back into it then, and kind of Knox got through and nearly scored, and Davin O'Neill near the end, they keep pulled off a blinding save, and otherwise we could have won it quite easily.
And just your second clean sheet of the season as well, Dave, all the more impressive with the 10 men as well.
Yeah, as I said there, we came in half time, it was 10 men down, and we just had to show up the shop, and it was a very good disciplined performance. We explained what we needed from them, and they went out in the second half and they implemented exactly what I wanted. So it was very good actually, after conceding a lot of goals in the previous games, and especially with 10 men, it was a terrific achievement.
Overall, Dave, have you been happy with the start your side has made to the season?
Yeah, happy enough, but as I said before, the conceding too many goals, but it's made for entertainment down at Coleman's Park, and I'm sure after last night we can work on a few more things, and if we carry on that defensive way, then I can see us climbing up the league.
Heading to Wexford Utes now next week, or just behind yourselves in the league table, so another challenge this week.
Yeah, and we had them first game of the season, so we give them a bit of good hiding, and we got 5 goals then, so I'm sure they'll be after a bit of revenge. So it's all the matter of getting the defence sorted out again, and frustrating them.
Another Friday game, Dave. We spoke before the season about the impact that would have on your squad and the fact that players can't get off work and stuff like that. You played on Friday last night. How has it been affecting you so far?
We've been quite lucky in that respect up to yet, and lads are working, they're trying to do the best, and we got a couple of friends who will drive people down. I mean, the likes of Davin can only leave work about 4 o'clock, so it's a bit of a dash for him to get down. So in that respect, it's a bit difficult, but, you know, I mean, we'll take it being back in the first division, and I'm sure the league will see fit to play games at the weekend for everybody. You know, it'd be better for everybody in that way.
And just 7 games to go, and you're still in touching distance at the top, though, so very pleasing from your point of view.
Yeah, I mean, it's the points aren't really the problem. It's just if we shore up the defence, I'm sure the points will start flowing. So, I mean, that's 3 draws away from home now, and the first one was a 4-1 loss to Finn Harps. So away form has been pretty good defensively. It's just our own form, whether it's too open and attacking, I don't know, but it's led to a lot of goals going in, but we've conceded quite a few as well, so I'm sure we'll get that changed.
That's Cove Rambler's boss Dave Hill there speaking after their draw away to Waterford United. A decent point there for Ramblers. Time to talk boxing, and the Ireland Olympic men's team will take on French opposition at the Rushton Park Hotel on May 3rd and the National Stadium in Dublin on May 5th. Jaron O'Neill, Adam Nolan, Paddy Barnes, John Evan and Michael Conlon all fighting on the night. The Cork event has been arranged after a show on Mill Street was cancelled earlier this month, reportedly due to a lack of ticket sales and the withdrawal of Katie Taylor due to injury. To find out more, Joe spoke to Ireland high performance coach Billy Walsh.
Hey, you're just relieved the night's going ahead now, I suppose, at this stage?
Yeah, I think so. It was going to go ahead anyway, no matter where it was going to be. You know, I just needed someone to take hold of it and to organise it properly. And the fact now that Dan has come in, I rang him from Kazakhstan, and I knew if anything was going to happen around Cork, he's the man to do it. And so I gave him a call, and thankfully he jumped on board and was glad to do it. And you know, he said to me it was a very short space of time, but I said that's a good space of time as well, that you can get a good impact now in the next couple of weeks, you know, and if it's a reasonably priced, which it is, and I think there's a good opportunity for him to actually have run a good show, you know.
What was your reaction when you got the initial phone call in Kazakhstan that it wasn't happening in Mill Street?
Yeah, I was disappointed, very disappointed. It was a good, you know, for our lads, you know, they want to perform in front of big crowds, you know, and you know, and I mean, I'd only come back from, you know, four of these guys, you know, 3 of them had won medals at the Olympic Games, you know what I mean? They'd done the whole nation proud, and here, you know, it was probably because of the lack of sales, and then Katie pulled out as well, so wouldn't have helped the sales of tickets, so this is a point for them, you know, they want to get out there, but at the end of the day, it's preparation for the European Championships, and this is a good French team. We're looking forward to having 2 contests with them. The initial one will be here, yeah, and the second one will be in Dublin in the National Stadium on a Sunday, okay, before they head back on the Monday. And so really looking forward to the challenge and getting some good preparation for the Europeans.
How important was it that this show went ahead for you in terms of preparations?
Yeah, look, everything was geared around Cork, you know, and the fact that the flights were coming into Cork, everything was so that they said, what's the point in changing all that? Mm-hmm. Let's get down to Cork and make it happen in Cork. And as I said, that's when I got out to Dan, and Dan has made it happen now, and no better venue than Rochestown Park Hotel, who came on board as well. And it should be an exciting night, you know. I think you'll see the best of what the country has to offer in this regard, sportsmen.
Yeah, definitely. Just in terms of training and preparation, was there any disruption because of the whole kind of confusion?
No, we were preparing anyway for the Europeans and preparing for this day, on the 3rd, you know, no matter, as I said to you, no matter where it was going to be. So we're back in, the boys had a few days at home, now we're back in on Tuesday, and still they all know that we're fighting on the 3rd and 5th, and that's kind of heading now, you know.
Yeah, were the lads annoyed with the whole thing?
Yeah, absolutely, yeah. Someone were upset and annoyed, yeah, obviously. And they hear it and find out on Twitter or Facebook or whatever. Yeah, that's how I found out as well. The boys told me, you know what I mean? So that was a bit disappointing, that no one had the dignity to ring and say, look, we're going to pull the plug on this. And so, look, anyway, you know, we just got to get our heads around that, control the controllables. And the fact is that we are fighting against France. They'll have a tough fight. They've got to prepare themselves for that. They can't be worrying about where it's on and who's going to be in the audience. We just got to get ourselves ready for.
Yes, there's just the fact that it is top class opposition. Yeah. That would focus the mind pretty fast, wouldn't
absolutely
it?
Because if you lose track of what you're there for, you end up on the wrong side of a decision or on the wrong side of your pants, maybe.
What exactly did happen, Katie? Was it a wrist or a hand?
Yes, she's a small fracture to her under, to a bone. Wrist. after the fight in Castlebar. Now, it took a couple of weeks to detect it because it was just sore and it seemed to be getting better, but we ended up getting an MRI then and we found out there was a slight fracture in it, so she's out for a few weeks.
So that just a few weeks is it's not too serious?
She had missed it, so it was 3 weeks where she hadn't done any anyway before they found out, and then so it's probably another 3 weeks that she'd be out.
Yeah, and just like just hearing inside the press conference, you mentioned Cork. Like you said, you've been involved in high performance for 10 years and there hasn't been a Cork boxer in there. I suppose it's almost time for that to change, really, isn't it?
Absolutely. You know, don't tell me the second biggest city we have that there isn't talent down here. Yeah. There's loads of it. You know, we need to develop that and maybe get a system and a structure in place that will bring those to the top. And there is plenty of talent down here. And there has been from my time of boxing. Cork always had, some very, very sort of quality boxers on the team. As I said, around my time, there was four lads that went to Olympic Games from one club there, and the Sunnyside Club produced quite a bit. So, we need to get that, up and running again. I think the structure's in place. I think hopefully the development of regional centres and development of, in the high-performance manner, then I think we should see that happen.
Yeah, and Dan Lane mentioned it. I mean, it might be a long time before you get to see a group of boxers like this in one team on one night.
Well, absolutely. There'll be three Olympic male medalists. One of them is a double Olympic medalist. Joe Ward is a world champion. Ray Moylett was a world champion. Both of them are European senior champions. There's quite a bit of talent there. On the Darren O'Neill, who was in there with his European silver medalist, and also an Olympian. Three times every senior champion. So there's an abundance of talent in the squad. We never get to see them again, probably.
That's Billy Walsh, their Ireland high performance coach, speaking about the upcoming match between Ireland and France at the Rochdown Park Hotel on May 3rd. And it sounded like a very happy man that his fighters actually still have fights, Joe, following the postponement of the Mill Street bout.
Yeah, and Darren O'Neill was down there as well, and he was just pleased it was all happening, and especially in Cork, because I mean they want to showcase what they can do. And like, I know Katie Taylor isn't on the bill or whatever, but these guys did remarkably well in London as well, and they're top quality, and it should be a great night as well. I mean, taking on French opposition and an international like Ireland versus France in boxing is always quite a competitive thing, so it should be a good night. It's obviously, I suppose they were kind of disappointed with the whole cancellation and all that kind of stuff, but it's going ahead, which is the main thing.
And Rochdown Park Hotel, a good venue for it as well. I boxed and won there myself.
Did you?
Time, so.
Maybe you could pass some tips on to Billy Walsh and the boys. So.
Probably won't. Right, enough time to give you details on our competition. We had a cracking prize tonight in association with the World Mini Games. We were giving away either a Munster, Cork City or Cork GAA jersey. A huge reaction to this one, Joe, but the winner is...
The winner is, they want a Munster rugby shirt, so...
We can do that.
Is that you? And the winner is Amy Murphy from Carrigtool.
Congratulations, Amy. We'll get that jersey out to you ASAP. Now, Cork.fm and the organisers also want you to help design an official mascot for the games. It can be anything at all. So use your imagination or stick figures. I don't think you're going to pass the mustard, no?
No, like, I'm as artistic now as I use a ruler. When I was in art class, so that's not really, I don't think that's what they're looking for, but you'd never know.
Like the logo for World Cup Italian 90 was technically a stick figure.
That's true, and if that was good enough for Italian 90, maybe it could be good enough for the World Mini Games.
I think things have moved on in 23 years though.
Maybe.
Right, so if you want to be in with a chance of winning, the winning club, school or college will receive €1,000 worth of sports equipment, and the winning person will receive an iPad as well. Go to redfm.ie/win on how to get your entries into us, and tune into the Red Rooster on Monday morning for more updates. That is our show. Thank you for tuning our way. Stevie G is up next. An absolutely cracking documentary on A Tribe Called Quest. You do not want to miss this one. And Greg and Shannon will go deep from 10 o'clock with all the best in house music. We're back tomorrow from 6 p.m. Enjoy, Raven folks. We'll talk to you then.
The Big Red Bench, Saturdays from 6, Red FM.